We begin the current daf and set this kedushin daf chav zayin. We begin on the bottom of chavav and beis, three lines up in the bottom of the yamad, where the gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, where we had mentioned in our mishnah, continuing on the theme of the mishnayos from the beginning of the mesechta, talking about the halachas of kinyanim. So our mishnah spoke about the halachas of kinyanim of metaltlin, called nuchasim she'ein lehem achrayis, and karka, which are called nuchasim she'esh lehem achrayis. Now then it said a unique halacha called the kinyan agav. That is, if someone is selling to someone both karka and metatlin, by the acquisition of the karka, creating a kinyan in the land will automatically be acquiring the metatlin, the movable items, even if one doesn't do an actual kinyan in the metatlin. Now, the Gemara's question, however, was, when you do that kinyan of agav, do you need to have the metatlin, the movable items, on that karka or not? You could have the movable items wherever they are, and by just doing a kinyan of the karka, you have automatically acquired those metatlin. So the Gemara attempted many different proofs, and the Gemara was inconclusive. And our Gemara continues trying to attempt to prove, to answer that question. So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here from Mishnah Masechtas Maisa Sheni. The Mishnah says, Maisa b'Rabbi Gamliel u'Zakeinim. There was an incident with Rabbi Gamliel and the elders. Shehayboim b'Svina. They were coming on a ship. Now, Rabbi Gamliel had forgotten. He didn't give permission for anyone in his household to take off the necessary maisras of his produce back at home. Now, as Tosafot explains, he was very aware of this problem, and he wanted to take care of that problem right away, even when he was on the ship, because he was afraid that maybe one of his family members is going to eat from that produce because they're going to be relying on him. Because they're going to think that most definitely he took off Meiser, because there's a chazaka on a chaver, a Talmud Chacham, that he doesn't have any untithed produce in his house. And if he has produce, must be already to have taken care of the trumas of Meisers, but he actually forgot. He forgot to take off Meisers. So Amalehen Rabbi Gamliel is a kingdom. So Rabbi Gamliel said to the elders, says, I want to take care of this problem right now. So he says, Isur Shani Asid Lamud, a tenth for Meister Rishon that I'm ultimately going to end up separating, assessing from my produce back at home. So he says, as Gemara continues the Tapach of Zayin and Aleph, Nosan Loili Yeshua. It's given to Yehoshua, a reference to his colleague Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, whereas the Gemara Masechtas Erichin tells us where Rabbi Shua ben Hananya went to his sister, Rabbi Yechim ben Gudgada, in the closing of the doors in the Beis HaMikdash, where he told him, you go back, because there's different groupings of Levim. You're from the Mishayrim, from the Levim that sing, and I'm from the Shoyarim, from those who close the doors. So obviously, we see that he was a Levi. So he was saying that, I want to give that to him right now. I'm not separating right now. I'm going to do it when I get back home. But I want to make sure that it already has the halacha, like it's taif. And how am I going to do this? How am I going to give him the meiser? Because the area of where the meiser produce is, that area is rented to him. Now, moreover, as Rashi tells us, Rabbi Yeshua gave him a pruta for payment of the rental of the place where the produce was in Rabbi Gamliel's house. So it comes out that the metatlin of the produce, meaning from the meiser rishon, which was being given to the Levi, which is Rabbi Yeshua, was being acquired together with the karka, which he was acquiring through rental, through kesef, that he gave him a pruta. And that's the conclusion over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Maaser Sheni, that Neskablo Zecharza Mizeh, that they gave this payment, and that's how he got the Maaser Rishon. Now, as Rashi explains, but Rabbi Gamliel never yet did the Hafrashas Maaser, but still, it's called a Kriya Shem. He designated that Maaser Rishon in calling it that name, and therefore it already has that halachic status, where, again, as we explained from Taisis, there was a problem over here that he was a chaver and he has produce which is untithed. But now that he already said that that meiser is already being designated and is being given to Yeshua, there's not going to be any chiv misa of tevel if someone would go ahead and eat from it, because from that excess he's going to separate meisers, and it's right now that he's already designating that meiser going to Yeshua. So he took care of meiser rishon. Then he said, moreover, ve'iser achar shani asad lamad, and the other tithe that I'm going to end up evaluating and separating, where every year there's two maestros. Maestro Rishon always goes to the Levi. Then on the first and second year, there's Maestro Sheni. And on the third year, it's Maestro Ani. Then the fourth and the fifth, it's Maestro Sheni again, which the person takes up to Yerushalayim to eat himself. And then the sixth year again is Maestro Ani, which goes to the poor people. And the seventh year is the Shemitah. Now, this year, that year that that incident happened was a year of Meiser Ani, either the third or the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. So he says, that Meiser that I'm going to end up separating, Nosan Loila Akiva Ben Yosef, is being given now to Akiva Ben Yosef, so that he should merit it for the poor people, because Rabbi Akiva was the gabbai, was the one who took care of the poor people. And the reason why he's giving to these two specifically was because they were both with him on the ship right now. And the place is rented to him. And again, so therefore on the ship, Rabbi Akiva was able to give him a coin to pay for the land. And through the acquisition of the land, he acquired the payers, the Meiser Ani, just like Rabbi Yeshua had acquired the Meiser Rishon. So he took care of it. It was already theirs, where although it wasn't physically separated, but halachically it was considered separated. Now if any of his family members eat from it, it's okay because it's not tevel anymore. So that was that Mishnah Masechtas Meiser Sheni. Says the Gemara, Shemamina Be'inon Tziburim Ba. But what we can infer from this Mishnah is that obviously that the metallin that you want to be acquiring through the Kinyan of Agav of land has to be piled onto the land itself. From the fact that Rabbi Gamliel said that they should rent the place of where the Meiser is on top of that and not any other place. Why specifically that place? Oh, because the Kinyan of Agav only works if that metallin, which in this case where the Meiser is on top of that land itself. He couldn't just rent him any land because that wouldn't work because Agav has to be Tziburim Ba. So the Gemara says, no, not a Raya. Shani Hasim, that incident was different. Ki Hecha Deloi Litrachinu. The reason why Rabbi Gamliel did that was not because of Kinya Agav. Truthfully, I could say that he could rent him any piece of land, and by acquiring the land, it will acquire Metallin no matter where it is. But he just didn't want for them to exert themselves to have to get it out of there very fast. In other words, they could leave it there as long as they wanted because they own that land. In other words, in a rental format. So they could leave it there, and they could get it at their convenience. But if he would just rent them just any land, they would feel compelled to get their Meiser out of his house because it's his land. So what he did was, he made it that you're renting the land of where the Meiser is, so you could leave it there, it's your place. But therefore it's no raya that it has to be as the, because of the king of Agav, it could have just been a convenience issue that Rabbi Gamliel did for them. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Toshima, come in here. The Amar Rava Bar Yitzchok Amar Rav, he says, Shnei Shtarisen. There are two different types of documents. In other words, there are two different halachic relevances that are related to these two different types of documents relating to a sale. One type is, Zuhu besada zula plainly. If someone tells to another person, here, merit this field for that person. In other words, be machzik in it, take possession of it, for the purpose of that other person. And moreover, v'chis v'lo yisashtar, then as a proof that I gave it to this person, go ahead and write him a document. And the document is not for the kinyan, because that's the first part of the sentence. Make a chazaka and be kainin. But just write him a document as proof that it's his. Write a deed for the sale. So it says that's the first case. Now regarding that case, the halacha is chayze bishtar. If let's say he says, I don't want him to have proof of that I gave him this field. Whereas Tais explains the reason why someone would want to do that, even though, as we see from the second half of this halacha, is ve'ina chayze basada, he cannot retract from the field itself, because the field, the person already was zeichin it for that other person. So what's the point of retracting from the document? Is because a person doesn't want that people should know that he sold the field or he gave it away, because they're going to think that maybe he's poor and he doesn't have money. So he doesn't want the word really gets out when there's a document. So regarding the halacha of retracting from the document, saying, I don't want this guy to have proof, a deed regarding this field, he could retract, as long as the shtar wasn't given to that person. But regarding the actual sale of the field, that the person has already acquired. That's case number one. Shtar number two is amanas shetichte b'leis shtar, where he says here, merit this field for that person on the condition that you write for him a document. Oh, regarding that case, says Rav, chayzre b'im b'shtar b'im b'asod. Then he can retract both from the field and from the document. In other words, even from the field. Now, the reason being is because he only made him an agent to merit it for the other person only with the document. It was almanas, it was contingent on writing a document. Now, as we said in the first type of document, regarding the document, he could retract all the way until it's given to that person. So even though the person already made a chazaka for that other person in shtar number two, but it was contingent on the shtar, and since you could still retract from the shtar, so you could still retract from the actual field itself. Those are the two types of documents that Rav described. Now, Rav Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rav Huna, he says, Shalosh Shtarasin. There's actually three different types of documents. Treha Damar, two are the ones that we mentioned from Rav. Idach, he says, there's a third type. Im Kadam Meicher. If the seller goes before the whole transfer, in other words, before the purchaser gives him money, or before he does a chazak in the field, before the purchaser, before the consumer takes possession of the field, the seller goes, V'kasav Le'asashtar. and he already pre-writes a document saying how his field is sold to that person. Kaisa Shashaninu, says Rav Huna, like we learned in the Mishnah Maseches Baba Basa, Kais v'mshtar l'moicher, we could write a document for the seller, which will say in the document, Sadi mechur l'plani, my field is sold to that person, afa pishen l'keich imoy, even though the consumer is not even with him, and he didn't buy it yet. Now, as Rashi points out, we don't say that that's a problem of what's known in halacha as a shtar muktim, a predated document, because as the Gemara Baba Metzia brings in Daf Yud Gimel Menaf, like Abaya, where the halacha is edav b'chasum of zachamai. Actually, the witnesses that are testified in the document actually do acquire it for the consumer. So although the consumer didn't do an actual kinyan in it yet, but he's actually retroactively going to have acquired it from the time that the document was written. So that's what the Mishnah there is saying about Basa, that even though the consumer is not here yet, they didn't do any sale, they could write the document for the seller. And that's what the Mishnah there says. Now, Rav Chiya Bar Oven concludes, and he says, now, Kivan Shehichzik Imay Bakarka. So he explains regarding that halacha that we know that the seller could write the document before the actual sale was. Now, but although retroactively he's going to acquire it from the time the document was written, but he has to first make a kinyan to somehow get that field and the document. So he explains Rav Chiya Bar Oven, this is the third type of ashtar. Kivan Shehichzik Imay Bakarka, once the lekeach, the consumer makes a chazaka in the land, he acquires the land. So then he acquires the document wherever it is. As Rashi points out, it would be talking about where the seller tells to the consumer, here, acquire the land with a chazaka, and then you'll acquire the shtar, the document, together with it. So says Reb Chiya Bar Oven, that shtar could be wherever it is. It could be wherever, it could be someone safe, it doesn't make a difference. He has automatically acquired the document through his acquisition of the land, which again, that helps that now retroactively has actually acquired the land from the time the document was written. But that's only when he gets the document. He only gets the document through the kinyan that he does in the land. So says the Gemara, Shmami, no, what we could obviously infer over here is loy be'in tziburimba, that you don't need to have the metatlin, the shtar, which is a movable item, to be on the land itself, because how is he acquiring the shtar? Through kinya agav. By acquiring the karka, the land, he's acquiring the document of it. So you see that you don't have to have it piled up on it. So the Gemara says, no raya. Shani shtar, a document is different. The afsira da arahu, which the phrase is that it's like the halter, it's like the strap of the land. In other words, it's where you hold on to it, so therefore it has the halacha like the karka. In other words, the shtar is not some other random related things. It is the force of the karka. It's really what your primary acquisition of it from back way then is what the document is, and that's why it could be wherever it is, because it's really like your kinyan in the karka. It's not really kinyan ibn am'agam. It is part and parcel of the karka, so your kinyan in the karka will be a kinyan in the shtar. But something else, like another movable item, maybe I would tell you has to be on the karka itself. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, but v'aloh katani, but regarding this halacha, it was taught from Reb Chiya Bar Oven that he said that zuhi shashaninu, it's regarding this halacha of this third type of document that I'm describing that we had learned, nechasim she'in lemachrayis, quoting the halacha of our Mishnah, that when you have metaltlin, that they're nicknamed im nechasim she'in lemachrayis, that they can be acquired through agav of karka, bekesa b'shtar b'chazak, with money, a document, and with taking possession. Now, obviously we see that Reb Chiya Bar Oven wasn't saying this halacha only for a shtar. We see that he was treating all other nechasim, all other movable items, like a shtar. And that's what he was saying, that this third type of halacha is not just to acquire the shtar wherever it is through the karka, but no matter what type of nechasim he could acquire through the kinyan agav of the karka, no matter where the metalin are. So the Gemara says, you're right, shmam enough in this halacha, Reb Chiya Bar Oven, we could infer, loy be'in in tziburimba, regarding the kinyan of agav that we mentioned in our Mishnah, that you would acquire metatlin through karka, you do not need the metatlin pile up on the karka when you're doing a kinyan karka to acquire the metatlin agaba. Shmamina. So that resolves the question that was posed on Amin Alf in the previous staff. Regarding kinyan agav, you don't need the metatlin pile up on the karka itself. Now, continuing on this halacha of our Mishnah of agav, the Gemara asks many different questions regarding the parameters of this halacha. Ibailu, the following question. Mi be'inon agav? Do we need that the person has to say this concept of agav? In other words, he has to tell him, look, acquire the land and acquire the metalin agaba through it, meaning agav? Oy lo, you don't have to verbalize that. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, diktani kalhani, because we taught all these cases that we mentioned in the previous daf, where, for example, one of the cases was where he said, look, acquire this piece of land, v'imoy me'etzayin, and with it 100 sheep. Now, v'legutani agav, and in all those Tanoic sources, it didn't say that agabon kovtzayin, that you should acquire, he said with it. It didn't say with the terminology of agav, that through it you acquire 100, so he's obviously enough to say the terminology. Now, that the Gemara responds, no. L'tamech, according to your reasoning, because it doesn't say that word, k'nei mikatani, did it say in those Tanoic sources the term of acquire it? Now, ela ad amar k'nei, but we know that obviously you have to say to that other person, here, merit in this area of land of a tefach by a tefach, meaning Rashi is referring back to that case that he quoted, and with it 100 tzayin, which I have, where that's going to prevent me from being able to retract, you obviously have to say merited. You have to say that word. But it just didn't say that in the Braisa. Hachanami ad ama agav. Here also, it's not a raya. You couldn't, possibly you have to say the term agav. It's just not mentioned. But don't bring a proof that it's not mentioned. Just like you have to say kani, and it's not mentioned, and you obviously have to say that. Now, the Gemara concludes, however, the hilchas of the halacha is, A, first of all, tzibur and loy be'inan, as we mentioned before, the Gemara concluded. You don't need to have the behiltatlan pile it up on the karka itself. However, agav ukani be'inan, you do need to say the terminologies when you're doing the kinyan of agav, A, to say the terminology of agaba through it, saying that it should work through agav, and you have to say kinei, which the Gemara took for granted, you have to say acquire this for that person. Now, Yibai Lui, the following question, sada b'mecher, let's say the field that you're acquiring to that person is you're selling him the field. Umatatlim b'matana. Now, this that you're giving immovable items, it's not through a sale, you're actually gifting that to him. Ma, what's halacha? Would that also work for agav? Even though they're two different types of acquisitions, because one's a gift, one's a sale, would the kinyan agav work or not? So the Masa Toshma, let's bring a raya from that Mishnah Maaser Sheni that we opened up in the staff, where Amlil said, Isur Shani Asad Lamed Nosan Yeshua. He said, the first type Maaser Rishon that I'm going to end up separating is being given now to Yeshua. Umakayim Muskalai. And the place of where that Maaser Rishon is, that area is rented to him. Now, as Rashi points out, a rental is somewhat of a sale. It's a temporary sale. Now, but the maisa that it was given to him was a matana, because that's a gift. That's matnas anim. Matnas, that's a gift that's given to the Levi. Shema minah, so we could infer from that you could acquire metalin of matana through a karka of mecher. So that answers the question. So even though they're two different things, you could still do that through agav. Now, you bring the following question. Sada le'echad metalin le'achar. Let's say the field is going to one person, but the metalin is actually going to someone else. In other words, where he tells to the one that he's giving the field to, he says, look, acquire the field for yourself. And agabah, through your acquisition of the field that I'm giving to you, acquire the metalin for someone else. Now, what's halacha? Would that also work as agav? So the Gemara says, Tashema. It's being arrived from that same Mishnah Maaser Sheni, where the next words Ragnul says was, Isur Shani Asad Lamed, and the other type that I'm going to end up separating, Nasan Akiva ben Yosef is given to Akiva ben Yosef. That's the Maaser Ani. Kedesh Yiske by La Aniim, that he should merit it for the poor people. Umakayim Muskalai, and he says, and the place of where the Maaser Ani is acquired to Rebbe Kiva. So you see that the land was going to one person, Rebbe Kiva, yet the Matatlin was going to someone else, was going to the poor people. So you see it works for one and for the other. Another Gemara says no. Two reasons why it's not Araya. Either my Muska, what does it mean when it was rented to Rebbe Kiva? It wasn't rented to Rebbe Kiva, it was Muska LaMaiser. It was only rented to him for the Maaser. In other words, the rental of the land was also for the poor people. He was just representing them. So both were going to the poor. Or V'ibayisim, or if you want, you could say the other way around, that actually both the Maaser and the land was going to Rebbe Kiva, because Shani Rebbe Kiva is different than Yad Aniim Hava. He's actually the hand of the poor people. So since he's their representative, so it's like his hand. Whereas if it was going to totally someone else, then that actually wouldn't work. So Rebbe Kiva was the same and one as the poor people, so that's why it wouldn't be considered as two different things. But maybe I could tell you that if it was Metatlin was going to one and the Karka was going to someone else, maybe that wouldn't work. Now the Gemara qualifies, Amar Ravi says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this whole halacha of Metatlin being acquired through the kinyan of Agav when you're being machzik, when you're taking possession of a Karka. That's Ela Shenasin Demei Kulan. That's only if you gave the entire, you paid up all the money that was owed for the metalin and the karka. So then when you're being machzik in the karka, so then the intention is to, through the chazaka of the karka, to acquire the metalin too. But says Rav, avoloinosin de mekulon, but if you didn't pay up all the money that you owe for the metatlin, then loy kana, you have not acquired the metatlin when you're doing a chazaka in the karka, el keneged ma'isav, only correlated to the amount of money that you paid up. So if you paid up half the amount of metatlin that you owe, so then when you're being mafsik in the karka through the kinyan of agad, you'll acquire half the metatlin, but not all of it. So the Gemara says, Tani kavasei de Rav, similarly learned in the Braisa like Rav. It says, yafa koyecha kesem mekoyecha shtar, contrast these three kinyanim that we mentioned in our Mishnah, that karka is nikna with kesef shtar and chazaka. So the Braisa contrasts the superiority of one kinyan over the other. So the Braisa says that yafa koyecha kesem mekoyecha shtar, the strength of the kinyan of kesef is more powerful than that of a document. And so to koyecha shtar mekoyecha kesef, there's something that's superior by document over kesef, as the Braisa explains. Yafa koyecha kesef, we find the superiority of the kinyan of kesef. Shakesef paid them by hektashis and meiser sheni, where money could be used to redeem something from hektash. And when you have meiser sheni produce, where you don't want to schlep all your produce up to Yerushalayim, which that's halacha meiser sheni, you could then deconsecrate it onto money and bring that money up to Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara Masechtas Bechayrus and Dafnan Alf Min Alef learns out that these two need kesef. Hektash, because the pasuk says v'nasna kesef v'kamlay, you give kesef to hektash and then you get back that field. And meiser sheni, it says v'tzarta kesef, that you bundle up the money, which the Gemara interprets tzarta of a term of tzura, meaning it has to be a coin, that we see that only money can be used to redeem these things, mashen kebishtar, whereas it doesn't work with a document. And then you have the superiority of the strength of a document, shashtar moitzi bebas Yisrael, where a document could be used to release a Jewish woman, meaning a get isha, mashen kebikesef, where you cannot divorce with money. Now, and these two, kesef and shtar, are superior than what is by a chazaka, by having an act of taking possession. And yet we have something by chazaka that's not by those two. That's what Bresa explains. We find these two are superior. Where both of them can be used to acquire a Jewish slave, as the Gemara taught on the Yudalim and Beis. Whereas we don't find such a source for chazaka. Now, on the other hand, we have the strength of chazaka, because we find something unique and superior by chazaka. Where if someone was selling to somebody 10 fields in 10 different countries, once he takes possession of one of them, he does chazak in them, kanam kulam, he has acquired all the fields, which is only unique to doing chazaka, that wouldn't apply by kesef and shtar. Now, however, as we continue to Amud Beis, the Braisa qualifies and says, b'med devar mamur. When did we say this, that if you'll acquire one field by being machzik in it, then you'll acquire all the other fields, even though they're not near it? That's only at a time shenasan lai demei kulam. If he had already paid up for all the 10 fields, he just had to do a halacha kinyan, so by doing it in one field, he'll acquire all of them. Avaloi nasan lai demei kulam, but if he didn't yet go ahead and pay up for all the fields, lekana eli keneged ma'isav, then he's only going to acquire in the other fields as much as how much he paid up. Now that is seemingly exactly supporting Rabbi's halacha, where when you have metatlin that's being acquired through a karka, it's just like other lands which are not near this land, where that's Rabbi's halacha, where again, the kinyan of agav only works according to how much you paid up. If you paid up, then doing a token kinyan in one thing will then acquire all these other things, which is the same thing for these fields. But if you didn't pay up all of it, then it would only work according to the money that you paid. Now the Gemara says, Misayei le lishmu. This brisa that we just brought that says when you're machzik in one of the fields, then you're acquiring all the fields, well, that supports a halacha that Shmuel had said. Because the Amar Shmuel said the same halacha. He said, Machalai esa sadis ba'esa medinas. If someone sold to someone 10 fields in 10 countries, came in shechzik ba'achas, man, he had said the same halacha. If you're machzik in one of them, kanas kulin, you've acquired all of them. Now, Amar Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ikeh, he had said, Teida, he says, you should know from logic, like this halacha of Shmuel. Why? Because he says, She'ilu masulay esa behemis ba'afsar echad. Imagine, he says, if someone would sell to somebody else 10 animals with one halter. V'amar le kini, and the halter is that string that pulls, that strap that's connected to the animal. And he says, kini, and he says, here, acquire. Miloy kani, wouldn't he acquire all of them? So you see that even though he's just pulling one halter connected to one animal, he's acquiring all the 10 animals. So that's the same concept like Shmuel said, where he's selling him 10 fields, and they're all different fields, and these are all different animals, yet if you do chazaka one of them, you'll acquire all of them. So Amalei, so they said to Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ikeh, Mi Dami, can you compare the two? Hasam igudei beyadoi. There, all of the animals are attached one to the other, and the halter that you're pulling by one is going to pull all of them, so they're all connected. So although they're separate, but they're connected. So therefore, yeah, pulling one will pull all of them, that's why you're acquiring all of them. Which is, that's the kin of Mashiach. Hacha ein igudei beyadoi, but here, they're not attached. They're not connected. So why would you, how could you prove Shmuel's halacha by acquiring one field that require all the other fields? It's not necessarily an outgrowth of the halacha that you quoted. That's one version. Ikadami, that those say a different version. That Amar Vacha Brida Viki said, Teda Deloikani. He says, I could prove to you from logic, not like Shmuel's halacha, that actually by making a chazaka in one field, you would not acquire all the fields. He says, because as follows. Ilo Masala Esa Behemes Ba'avser Echad. He says, imagine if someone would give over to someone else 10 animals with one halter. Va'amalini tells him, Zukani, acquire this one. Mikani, would he require the rest? Obviously not, because he said acquire this one. So says Rav Acha Bereder of Ikra, he says, this is the same case over here regarding being machzik in this field. Because all the other fields are not recognizable in this field, they're in other countries. So essentially when he's doing a chazaka in this field, it's like saying I'm acquiring zu, this one. When you say this one, of course you're not acquiring all the rest, just like the logic would be in that halacha of 10 animals with Avser Echad. If you say this one, of course it's only schlepping and pulling and giving over that animal and not all the rest. So then obviously the halacha would not be like Shmuel. To which they answered him, no, midami, is it comparable? Hasam gufam mechulakim. There by the case that you're bringing from the 10 animals, they're all different animals. Now therefore when he says acquire this one, he's telling him acquire this one and not the rest. But hacha over here, actually sadna de arachadhu. Here it's not a case of zukani, because actually, although they're all in different countries, but as we know, the land is one mass of land. So essentially, they're all connected, although it's in different places. But land connects, and therefore, since they're connected, it's not gufa mechulakim. It's not totally different things, like animals are totally not connected. And therefore, maybe over there, when you say zoo, it's going to say only this one, not the rest. But who said, maybe in Shmuel's halacha, the halacha would be that actually, by being machzik in one karka, then you actually would acquire the other ones, because they're not gufa mechulakim. They're actually one mass of land, and therefore, since they're connected, being machzik in one would be machzik in the other ones. But either way, there was a b'raisa that supported Shmuel's halacha. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, that concluded and said, V'zaykikim es nachasem v'chulu. Meaning we had mentioned, A, the separate kinyan that work for karka. We had mentioned the separate kinyan that work for metatlin. Then we mentioned that, moreover, you could acquire metatlin through karka. Then the Mishnah said another related halacha was, that although generally, einish ba'in ala karkais, we don't take an oath regarding if someone's claiming by someone else, oh, you owe me land, and he says, no, it's not true, or maybe part of it. You don't make any oath. You do it regarding movable items. Now, however, but zaykikin es nachasim, but if, let's say, there was a double claim regarding land and movable items, and since the halacha is that he has to swear now because of the movable items, that will be zaykik, that will mandate and together evolve and devolve on this other on the defendant that he has to swear now on the karka too. So it's regarding this halacha that Amar Ula, Ula says, Minayin legilgul shvua min atar. Where do we know this halacha of the Mishnah, which in halachic terminology is called gilgul shvua? Gilgul means a circle, rolling, evolving, devolving. How do you know that there's such a halacha where since you make him have to take an oath on one thing, which is metatlin, you can then make him take an oath on something else which he normally would not have to, which is karka? So the Gemara says, Shenema, like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar. We learned this out from the halacha of the parsha by Saita. The pasuk says, Va'amra ha'isha amen amen. The woman says, amen amen. The word amen means on some level, yes, I agree, I accede to that. Yes, yes. Now, the extra amen is superfluous. It should just say amen. Why is she saying amen, amen? So that's to expound this halachic concept of gilgul. Whereas the Gemara will conclude where she, although she's saying amen, it's amen shalaysa tisa arusa. It's yes, I agree. I was not unfaithful when I was engaged. I agree. I wasn't unfaithful when I was married. Where again, as the Gemara will conclude, there's no way to have a woman having to swear regarding when she was engaged, unless if it's going to go through the halachic reality of Gilgul Shavuah. As the Gemara proves this, Utsanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Saita that says, Almahi Omeris Amein Amein. For why is she saying this double Amein? It seems like it's including other things. So on that, the Mishnah brings a few examples. Amein Al Ha'ala. Well, first of all, she's answering yes to the curse, which the Kohen had told her, look, if you did this, you're Bechich Nefeles, if you were unfaithful, if you had an adulterous relationship, your thighs are going to collapse, etc., etc. So one Amen is going on the curse, and Amen Allah Shvua, the other one's going on the oath, because the Kohen would make her take an oath. He would say, Mashbi Ani Alaich, I'm making you take an oath, Shaloi Net Mais, that you did not become Tami, because that's the whole reason why she goes through it. If she admits, then there's a whole different halacha. Whereas the Pasuk says in Bemidbar Hei Bishbiya Isa, he makes her take an oath. Now, moreover, Amen Im Ish Zeh, she says that, yes, I'm swearing that I was not unfaithful, both from the man that he's claiming that I did, that he warned me about, and Amen Im Me'esh Achar, and also if it's from any other man. Moreover, Amen Shalei Satisi Arusa Unesua, and I'm also saying that, yes, I did not stray when I was engaged to him, and neither when I was married to him. And so too, the same parallel is v'shamer siyavim ukanusa. Same thing is regarding a woman who, on some level, is like an engaged woman, which is when her husband dies without any children, and she's anticipating yibum, waiting to see what her brother-in-law is going to do, yibum or chalitza. And kanusa is the stage when he finally does yibum with her. Whereas Rashi points out that by a yavama, it's appropriate these two different terminologies, shamer siyavim, is from the terminology of waiting and anticipating, like we find in Bereshit, Shamar Asadav, he was anticipating Yates' dream to come true. Now he says that's why the terminology of Kanusa is more appropriate by the Shemer Siyavim, which literally means to say to bring in, because as we find in Dvarim Chafei, when she is Shemer Siyavim, it says, Leisia Eishas Ames HaChutz Lezhar, that the wife of the dead man should not be outside to a foreign man, because she has to actually first either connect or disconnect from her Yavam. So rather, the yavam she has to be taken into the house of her brother-in-law. That's with the word of kenusa, of mean bringing in contrast to going out. So again, that's the corollary of arus and the suah, shemeres yavam and kenusa regarding a widow that her husband died without any children. That's what the Mishnah says. Mesach the Saita, what amen comes to add on. Now on that, Ula concludes. He says, "Hay arusa hechidami." This is the Mishnah mentioned that she swears regarding not having been unfaithful, that the halacha of kinu and stira and making a shvua applies to when she's engaged. What would that case be talking about? And that is, ilema de kani lo kisharusa. If you would entertain to say that it's tomat, that he warned her, there's the kinu, the warning part, there's the stira when she's secluded, then there's the drinking part. If you say that the procedure was that he had warned her when she was engaged, and become mashke lo kisharusa, and he had her drink now in the Beis HaMikdash when she's engaged, which is that they're not even married yet, but he sees she was unfaithful, so he warns her, she's secluded, he takes her up to drink, and then you would learn this Mishnah Masechta Saita that it's actually different halachas. In other words, it's not that when she's married, she swears regarding marriage and engagement. Rather, the Mishnah would be saying that whether if she's engaged now or whether if she's married now, he could make her swear and have her drink. And that the Gemara says you can't say that, because of Atzinan we learned in another Mishnah Masechta Saita that says, Arusa v'shemer siyavam, a woman that's engaged or anticipating Yibum, loishaisis, if she's secluded and she was warned, she does not drink. You can't do the procedure of the mei saita, because the pasuk says, tachas isha. She has to be married to her husband to have the halachas of a saita. And v'loinitlis ksuba, now neither does she take her ksuba when she leaves that marriage, because she caused the loss herself, because now the reason why she's prohibited to her chasan, or to our brother-in-law, the Yavim, is because she did inappropriate things by secluding and so on, so she loses her ksuba, but she doesn't drink. Now, my timer, as we just mentioned before, as the previous pasuk says, Tachas Ishech Amrachman, the Torah says that because you were unfaithful when you were underneath your husband, Velek, and you don't have that by a Kala that's engaged, and by Shemeres Yavim, because they don't have an Ish. That's only when they get married, when there was Nisuin. So that can't be the case of when the Mishnah would be talking about that she has to swear regarding her engagement. So, El, rather you would say, okay, the kani lo kisharusa, he warned her to stay away from this man from being secluded with him when they were engaged. And v'nistra kisharusa, and she also secluded with him when she was engaged. But, you're right, you can't have her drink and have her make this oath when she's engaged, as we just mentioned, but rather v'kamashke lo kishinisua. He actually gives her to drink, he brings her to the kayin of the Beis HaMikdash only after they end up getting married, and he's bringing her for what she had secluded when she was engaged. That the Gemara says that also is not a viable option. Because mi bodki lamaya, would we actually give her to drink? Would the water inspect her at that point? But v'nikha ishmi oven amrachman, the Torah says that, and part of this process of the site, it says, and the man will be cleansed from sin. Which the Gemara tells us means to say that the husband did not cohabit with his wife, after she was secluded with the man that he warned her to stay away from, because she actually becomes forbidden to him, his wife to the husband, after she had already secluded with the man that he had warned her regarding. Which that drasha tells us, bizman she'ish menukuma oven, when the man is pure from sin, meaning he did not seclude with his wife, he didn't cohabit with his wife after she was secluded, then mayim boikim esishti, then the warder could inspect her and you could go through with this procedure. But eina ish menukuma oven, if the man is not pure from sin, which is the case you proposed, if she was had the kinoi and the steer when she was engaged, then she becomes forbidden to him. If they go ahead and they consummate the relationship, which you're saying that he got married to her and then he wants to bring her to the kain for what was done when they were engaged, so then he's not menukum oven because he's cohabiting with her, he's consummating the relationship in the suin, even after she had steer. And therefore, ein hamayim boitin nesishta, the warder wouldn't even inspect the wife, so that neither can that be the case when we would make the arusa make a shavua. So what is the case of an arusa making a shavua? Ella rather concludes, Ula must be, and this is the proof of this halacha, Ali de Gilgal. Must be by evolving the shvua, which is that it's actually talking about a regular husband and wife in their marriage. She's talking with somebody, he's concerned, he warns her regarding that person, and she secludes with that person. Now, that's a classic halacha of saita where he brings her to drink the water, and then part of that procedure, she swears she didn't do anything inappropriate. Now, at that point in time, he could then be megalgal on her shvua. You know what? I wanted to swear that also when we were engaged, she didn't do anything inappropriate. Even though, for engagement itself, he wouldn't have any rights to make her swear. Because he already had relations with her after, and he can't do it when she's engaged. Now, since kinu wouldn't work for the arusa itself, so then it proves ula, how are we having that the Mishnah is saying, amen, 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 that I was not unfaithful when I was engaged and married, when you're going to have to do engagement, is only possible through a Gilgal Shavua of marriage. Now, Rashi points out one obvious question, and that is, the Gemara could have proposed a way out not to prove the halacha of Gilgal Shavua, because it could have been talking about that he had warned her when she was engaged, and she secluded when she was engaged. But he had her drink from the kohen after they went to the chuppah. Now, once you do chuppah, that's nisuin, and that's tachas ishech. And yet, he didn't have cohabitation with her yet. He didn't consummate the relationship in that way, which he would still be menukum oven. So if he's cleansed from sin, why can't that be the case, not through Gilgal Shavua, but rather actually directly having her take the oath of the saita, which is what she had done as a narusa? So that Rashi says, actually the Gemara Masech Yevamis poses this question up in Ches Menalf. And the Gemara responds, because the Pasuk says, Mibala de Ishech, which is that, because to tell her that another man cohabited with you besides your husband, which that halacha teaches us that there had to have already been cohabitation with the husband before the Baal, before this other suspected man had be with her, and not that the Baal had relations before the husband. And therefore, you cannot make her take an oath regarding Znus of Erisin in any situation, rather only through Gilgal, because when she's being mezana, when they're just engaged, which the husband cannot have be with her yet, only after Nisun could he have a relation with her, obviously that's going to have the laying of the Baal before the Baal. That's why that's not a viable option either of the warder inspecting her. Now, although Rashi does says that in Masechet Yevamos, there are those that propose this as a way of interpreting this Mishnah, of how do you have an arusa swearing, is when the aris actually did have relations with his kala, when they were just engaged, when she was still by her father's household, and then you do have shechivas baal before the baal. But ula, obviously, who is proving the halacha of Gilgal Shavua, does not hold to that answer to propose that that's the case of that we're going to make this woman as narusa making a shavua in the case where the aris had relations with her when she was narusa. No. An aris is not allowed to have relations with his arusa, and therefore he says the only way to interpret the Mishnah Masechta the Saita of a woman swearing that she was not mezana when she was an arusa is only possible, feasible, if it was actually through a Gilgal Shavua where he's allowed to make his regular wife do kinui and stira and then make her drink the waters, and part of that is making her take the oath. Now, once she's taking for the nisuin, then through Gilgal, which he would have no other rights to do it, he could have him take a shvua for when they were engaged. And again, that proves the halacha of our Mishnah, where we said that if someone's claiming to someone else that you have of mine metalin and a mine of karka, and although generally you would not make a shvua on karka, but once you are requiring him to take a shvua on metalin, that could then, through the halacha of Gilgal shvua, make him have to take a shvua on the karka.